Let's turn this morning to Psalm 56. Psalm 56, beginning in verse 3. Let's hear the word of God. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Heavenly Father, again, we ask your blessing on the word. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you illuminate the scripture to us. Open our hearts and open our minds to receive it. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All the things that you think about going on in the world today, I wonder, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of anything? It's the rare individual who doesn't have some fear of something, you know, at some point in their lives. Fear is a large umbrella that covers a range of manifestations. Fear can be a slight apprehension. It could be like, you know, I hope they didn't make Brussels sprouts for the church dinner, you know. Slight apprehension that way. All the way up to a crippling terror that forbids you movement when you think about what may be approaching. Fear can be initiated by something that is very real, or something that is imagined only. I've told the story lots of times about the elderly fellow who was well into his 60s at that time, but was still afraid to go to bed at night. He would turn the light switch off, and he would go and jump into his bed for fear that there would be something underneath, you know, to reach out and grab him. Lots of strange things that we get in our minds, you know, over the years that cause us to be afraid. Noah Webster, when he decided to write his dictionary, he included the word fear. And in fact, he so focused on that word, he came up with 13 different definitions. But the one definition that I'm looking at this morning says, fear is a painful emotion or passion excited by an expectation of evil. Fear is associated with pain. And most people wish to avoid pain. We don't like pain. We like to put it off at any cost. The pain that we experience in life can be physical, can be mental, can be emotional, but it's real nonetheless, however it comes. Some people have said that when they've been interviewed, that the greatest fear of men is the fear of public speaking. Nobody wants to get up in front of people and have that pain of making a fool of themselves, you know, come up in their minds. They don't want to do that. Excuse me. Nobody wants to do that. Clearly, people are afraid of the unknown. How do you battle something that you don't know? You know, that you're not aware of. There's something out there that wants to hurt me, but I don't know what it is. Yet people will take that to heart. Something's going to get us. Something's going to do us in. Something is going to hurt us in some way. We saw just a couple of years ago in the during the pandemic how easily it was to inflict fear on the masses. It was an easy thing. That's not saying the disease wasn't real, the virus wasn't real. But the fear associated with that virus was incredible. It was incredible. And people went from, you know, from all the extremes, and they say they're going to bring it back. They're already talking about bringing some of the things back. And that's because there's an election next year, but that's another story. The thing is, if there's something going on, normally rational people know how to handle those things. But during that situation, people who were normally rational did extraordinary things because that's what was expected of them. They were afraid. They were afraid. The social medias have been very guilty of the spreading of fear, and the planting of the seeds and promoting things that cause people to fear. And I was just telling Betty, I just read an article, was it this morning, that in Canada, the last couple of years, the media in Canada have been promoting an idea that so many churches were built on land that was burial grounds for indigenous children. But it was all a lie. But the effect of that lie was that 81 churches got set fire to. They burned the churches down because people were trying to exonerate the dead. There were no dead. They went through, and it was entirely a hoax promoted by the media. People believe what they're told. People believe what they're told. You know, the Proverbs tells us that he is who is first in his cause, you know, seems right, but his neighbor comes in and searches him out, kind of a thing. So what happens when the news media, when any kind of media, starts promoting an idea? You know, they may seem right, but you got to take a step back and search them out and see what it is that they're actually promoting. You know, if believe me, Canada is not a haven for Christianity. And Justin Trudeau, their prime minister, is, I don't think he's senile, but he's every bit as bad as our current president. You know, and they've opened the doors to the enemies of our countries and those kinds of things. All of that stuff can promote fear. Now, Paul told Timothy, all who would live godly lives will suffer persecution. So we ought not be afraid if we get oppressed in some way. We ought not be afraid of those things. But because it's a reality if you're going to walk the Christian walk. Whoever came up with the idea that all you have to do is come to Jesus and your life is just going to be smooth sailing. Whoever did that was obviously a son of Satan, because that's a lie. As a matter of fact, it's not until you come to Christ that you're probably going to experience a lot more trouble than you ever experienced in your life. But it's worth it. It is worth it. 1 Samuel 21, David was fleeing from Saul. And Saul, you remember, was trying to kill him. David was a threat to Saul. Saul was the king. David was the anointed king. And Saul didn't want that to happen. He didn't want to take a step down. So he was chasing after him. And David fled to Gath. And he mentions to one of his guys there that he was unarmed. And, you know, here he was, the king of Israel in exile, you know, running to save his life, and he didn't even have any armament with him. And the guy told him, oh, Goliath's sword happens to be around here. You remember Goliath's sword? You used it once. And David said, well, yeah, he said, all right, I'll take that. I'll use that. Well, he got out into Gath, and the people remembered who he was. And they remembered that he was the man who defeated their champion. And they got a little nervous about David being there. Well, David found out that they knew he was there. And David became afraid. Matter of fact, he became very afraid to the point where he began to put on an act that he was a madman. Started drooling all over himself and acting like a fool, you know, and in a way to spare his life. It worked. God kept him in that hour. We don't usually think of David as being a fearful man. But even the mightiest of us have our moments. Paul, writing to Timothy in the second epistle, said God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And when we think soundly, it's harder for the effects of fear to totally have its way with us. We trust God. We believe in Him and in His Word, that He has indeed given us a sound mind. Now, we don't want to be Pollyanna-ish, I guess, about things. There are things that exist in this world that can lead us to fear, to have fearful thoughts. But we don't want to entertain those things. We don't want to dwell on those. We don't want to make those the thing that we wake up to in the morning and go to bed to at night and endure all day long. God has His enemies. That's not going to cease until the judgment day. But we don't have to be at their mercy. We can be strong in the power of His might. Jesus, in the 24th chapter of Matthew, is telling the people about something that's coming right down the pike. He's telling them there is a Roman siege that's coming, and they're going to be taking Jerusalem and turning it into a shambles. That would occur in the year 70 AD. Titus came in and ruined everything. He tore down the temple. Obliterated Jerusalem. Jesus is telling the people that they were having that. Now, when Jesus is telling this, giving this prophecy to them, do you think they're sitting there saying, oh boy, I can't wait for that to happen? Do you think maybe they were sitting back and starting to take account of their own lives, taking account of the things that were going on and what precautions they could make or take? You know, and Jesus, in fact, gives them a way out. He tells them, when you see this stuff, come and flee to the hills. When you see that Roman army marching down the road, head to the mountains. Go to the caves and find a place of safety in those areas. Jesus is telling them to do that. Jesus is not telling them, you stay around and you face them down. He's giving them a way of escape. He didn't tell them to give in to the fear of that. He told them to use their smarts, have some prudence, and get out of town. scriptures teach us to fear God. They tell us tells us to fear God over 230 times. We are commanded to fear God. How do we fear God? Just a couple examples. First Peter, he said, love the brotherhood and fear God. Revelation 14:7, the angel declares, fear God and give glory to him. Fear God. Are you shaking in your shoes? Are you afraid to speak to the Almighty because of what could happen to you? As Christians, we need to have a healthy fear of God, because He is the Almighty. And as Jonathan Edwards declared in his most famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, He holds us like as by the thread of a spider web over the pit of hell. You know? But He holds us. He is keeping us out. You know? We need to have a deep reverence for Almighty God. We need to have an understanding that He is the great judge. Yet we have a confidence that's conveyed to us through the scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God has not appointed us to wrath. We need not fear the wrath of God as Christians. The wrath of God should cause lost men to quake in their shoes. But the church should never fear the wrath of God. Our salvation is in Christ. Christ is our hope. God has already poured His wrath out on Jesus. Jesus took that for us. And that's good news. That's very good news. Now, God, in His Word, is gracious to us. He tells us how the evil one works. He tells of what his mission is. But it also tells us that he lost. As we look around this world and we see the claims of the evil one, as we see the successes that they claim to have, we got to understand it's fake. He has already been defeated. His pomp and his circumstance, his pride, it's all fake. Now, it may seem real to us because we are affected by it. But he's a defeated foe. Jesus crushed his head at the cross and said, you can go so far, but no further. The Bible doesn't teach us to dwell on possible sufferings. Instead, as we live our lives and we engage in the battles that we engage in, Paul writes, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. That is why the church of Jesus Christ needs to be bound together. That's why we don't have lone rangers in the church. We are dependent one upon another. We encourage one another. We bear one another's burdens. We're supposed to. God has ordained that. God ministers to us through His Spirit. He strengthens us through His Spirit. But He placed us in a church. In a church to love one another. He said in Colossians, Paul writing to Colossians, he said, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace to the Lord." He said that we are to forbear one another and to forgive. Another important aspect of the life of the body of Christ. We don't hold grudges. We forbear as God forbears with us. We forgive as God forgives us. We love one another as God loves us. Writer to the Hebrews wrote, "Exhort one another daily." When? While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened. When we go through long stretches of separation, we're easy pickings for the evil one. When we go through those times, and everybody has done it. Everybody has done it. Gone through times where you felt, all right, you know, I don't need to go into church today. I'm doing well. You know, I'll just take the day off. Which turns into another day, and turns into another day, and turns into another day. It's all right. And then things start to work in our lives, and we don't understand. Why are we being oppressed in this manner? Why are we being attacked in this way? You know, and we don't have the encouragement of one another because we've separated ourselves. We say we don't need it. It's not what God's Word says. But sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes we think we're smarter than God's Word. Sometimes we think we know more. Yeah, God wrote that. He wrote that 1,000 years ago. These are modern times. All of these things work together to help encourage and keep us from succumbing to the fear promoted by the evil one. Certainly in our darkest hour, we may, as again the writer of the Hebrews said in Hebrews 13, we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." I realize this morning that this is being recorded. But I will tell you that in this upcoming episode, if they declare that we cannot have church because a new pandemic is out there, I will not comply. We'll have church. Whoever attends, I don't know, but we'll have church. I will not comply. I will not fear what man can do to me. The Lord is my helper. What if we say, you know, and I hear this too, this rabbit trail. I read the good intentions of many men who say, all right, it's time to stock up on arms and ammunition because the day is coming where we might need to fight. And if you want to do that, more power to you. I have no issue if you want to do those sorts of things. But the reality is They've got more guns and bigger ones. And the reality is, people are not going to be en masse. They're going to come to your house. And they're going to come to your house. And they're going to come to your house. They're going to pick you off individually. They're not going to wait until you gather as an army to come to fight back. That's just the way the devil works. You know. How does the devil work against the church of Christ? He doesn't have to come en masse and attack the entire church, which he does, but he comes up against the individuals. He comes against you and you and you and you. He wants to break you down where you're at. He wants to make you afraid where you're at. That's why we need each other. That's why we need the Lord more. But we need each other. That's His design. We say, I'm a mere mortal. I'm weak. I can't do these things. What if I stumble and find myself like Peter in his darkest hour? What if I'm standing in the courtyard watching the Savior being led to a fixed trial? And I'm standing there and I get pointed out as being a follower. Do I stand there and say, not me? Never heard of the guy. I'm just in to see what's going on. Of course, Peter was a true follower of Christ. And that event led to a great repentance. David was afraid, but God used him to write the counsel, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Whenever I am afraid, my trust is in God. God has certainly nothing to fear. And if my faith is in Him, if my trust is in Him, why should I have anything to fear? Don't beat yourself up, by the way, for getting afraid. It goes with our nature. Being afraid isn't sin necessarily. It's what we do as a result of those things that can be sinful. You get afraid, don't beat yourself up about it. Don't say, oh man, I should be a better Christian. I should have more faith. I should have more trust. But don't live in those attitudes either. Get out of there. Remember, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. Burn that into your mind. Because the hour will come when you will be nervous. And in that hour, I will trust in God. David said, I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? What can flesh do to me? As we said so many times, flesh has no power over the child of God. Because the child of God doesn't live, isn't flesh and blood. The child of God is the spirit that lives inside, the soul that lives inside. It's the part of us that can't be killed, can't be hurt. Job experienced the physical discomfort. It was temporary. Nevertheless, it was real while he was going through it. It was miserable. Not only the physical things that occurred in his body, but the losses that he had, the loss of family, the loss of wealth. But Job was never in any danger of himself being lost. Remember when Satan approached the Almighty and God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He was mine. God said he was mine. That's the same thing he says about you. If you're in Christ, you're his. He can't touch you. He can't kill you. You're a child of God. Jesus Christ is your Lord and your King. We need not be afraid. We are eternally safe. And I'm glad God put that in His Word. Because it's His Word that says that. That's not me making it up. That's not me just filling up time. That's God's Word. And I love it. Amen. Let's pray.